We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
So I was thinking, how cool is it that, like, not everyone is made to go over there, because not in everybody, but the fact that you can still have a passion for missions and give, and knowing, like, we gave them a van, we gave them water, like, you all did that. So good for you. So awesome. So welcome, everybody, if you're online streaming. Hey, it's better over here, but we're so happy to have you. We're just going to be an awesome morning. I'm going to pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. I thank you that we get to be here together and that just speaking your word, and we pray that hearts would be opened and changed through it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to be continuing Pastor Chad's series. Have you guys been enjoying it?
Yes.
I think it's so cool, like, reading, like, digging into these, and then, like, the Moses story, how, like, we all, a lot of us thought that he was just traveling down the river, but really, he was put into the reeds and found there. You know what I mean? So being able to dig in and be like, wow, I'm learning all these new things that you didn't actually, because what we hear and what we see, but when you read it, you see that it actually is a little different. So there's some stuff in the Jonah story that is the same. And so I'm actually going to be starting from after he got thrown into the water. So the message is in the heart of the sea. So we're going to read a little bit. Jonah 2, 1 through 10. It says, "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish. He said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and the Lord, you heard me. You threw me into the ocean depths, and I sank down to the heart of the sea. The mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Then I said, O Lord, you have driven me from your presence, yet I will look once more toward your holy temple. I sank beneath the waves, and the waters closed over me. Seaweed wrapped itself around my head. I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. I was imprisoned in the earth, whose gates locked shut forever. But you, O Lord God, snatched me from the jaws of death. As my life was slipping away, I remember the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies. But I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill all my vows. For my salvation comes from the Lord." And then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out. So we're going to talk about some things that we can learn from Jonah through his trials of going into the ocean. So number one, God's rescue plan is rarely how we imagine it. In Jonah 2:3, right? "You threw me into the ocean depths, and I sank down to the heart of the sea. The mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves." So Jonah didn't realize at the time that this was actually the best thing that could have happened to him, going into the water and being eaten by a whale. However, a lot of people think that it was at the surface of his problems that he was in the belly, that the whale came and took him. But actually, as we just read, he was actually sinking to the bottom of the ocean. So it's not like what we maybe have seen in cartoons and stuff where the whale just came and took him. He actually was at the bottom. And then at the last minute, God came through this whale, didn't eat him, but went in his stomach and lived in there. So in Jonah 2, 5 through 6, "I sank beneath the waves and the water closed over me. Seaweed wrapped itself around my head. I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. I was imprisoned in the earth whose gates locked shut forever. But you, O Lord, God snatched me from the jaws of death." So right at the very last minute, the whale came and took Jonah. So if you're here today and you feel like you're drowning, God's here. He's going to come and he's going to rescue you. But you need to be reading your Bible and praying and having this relationship with him where, God, okay, I'm here, and keep listening for him because he's going to come. So keep your head above the water and your whale is going to come, okay? So many people think, and I did too, that the minute I got into a problem, God would be there in a second. And sometimes he does, but a lot of other times we need to learn something from what we're going through. So, like, you got to remember that Jonah decided to run away. Right. Jonah could have done what God said, and it would have been a whole different story. Right. But Jonah chose to run, and because he chose to run, he ended up in the ocean, all his belongings, everything, and then was eaten by the whale. So if you think about the prodigal son leaving, getting his inheritance, and then taking off to be wild and free. And then when it was all gone, expecting to have a place to live and food to eat. So it wasn't until he was starving, desiring to eat with pigs and what the pigs were eating, that he had his aha moment and realized, I need to go back. I made a mistake and I shouldn't have left. So it's not a stretch to believe that in Jonah's desperation, trying to hold his last breath, that he pleaded with God and then had his aha moment. So it's like he's saying, you're right, God, I'll follow you and do what you ask. You know, some people are waiting for God's will of a provision in the middle of your storm, but there has to be a heart change. If you don't have a heart change, it's not gonna change anything because you're just gonna keep doing the same thing over and over and over. So you need to change your heart and that aha moment will come where it's like it all just clicks and you're like, oh, yes, God, I should have listened to you. I know this is what I need to do, and then you're gonna do it. In Jonah 2:4, it says, then I said, O Lord, you have driven me from your presence, yet I will look once more to your holy temple. So right there, he's having his aha moment. He realized what he did and then what now he needs to do. So how earnest are your prayers? Are you like digging in, God, I need you. God, I was wrong. God, help me. How earnest are they? Know what I mean? Anyone? No one? No one? Okay, I got some. Some of you get that later. So how, you know, just praying and digging in God, like that prayer he gave, when you're in your deepest, darkest moment, you give that prayer, that aha moment comes. Number 2, rock bottom brings clarity. Jonah 2:8, those who worship false gods turn their backs on all of God's mercies. You know, normally people who hit rock bottom start to think a lot clearer. They realize, wow, I'm in a pit. I shouldn't have done what I did, and now how do I get out of it? You know, they begin to realize their need for God in that moment. They shouldn't have turned their back, and that this is because they chose to not follow him and chose to go in this direction, what they desired instead. So my life before, you know, I grew up going to church, but by 16, I stopped going. So I knew that there was a God, and I knew that God could help, but I kept searching and following things for feelings of love and acceptance in any place that I could get it. And I knew that God was there, like I said, but it wasn't until I came to Metro Church that I had this aha moment that I was like, this is where I need to be. This is like, God is here, and my heart was filled. Like every sense of non-acceptance, didn't feel loved, all this stuff, it's like my heart just filled, and then I was never the same again. And then actually went from like, a little bit quieter, which we'll talk about that part later, to a lot more crazy, more so with the youth, and just doing these really stupid things that most of you, I'm not going to show you right now, but maybe another time. Some of you that were in the past youth, you know about the peeing dog. So, you know, God was tugging at my heart, and I just knew that this is where I needed to be, and I plugged myself in. I got involved, made lasting friendships, and God is so good. So he filled that, and he can do that for you too. If you're in that moment of just, ugh, why can't I get past this? God can do that. It's so much better when you're on the right path instead of on the wrong path. It's not going to be as easy because we're still going to go through trials. I've had lots of heartache, but because I had God, I was able to get through it without becoming bitter and angry, without blaming God, because I don't blame God for any of the things that have happened. But he's been there through every single step, and I came out better because of it. And number 3, a new clarity plus a renewed heart equals renewed vows. So the renewed clarity would be hitting rock bottom, and then the renewed heart, repentance and understanding why we hit rock bottom. Jonah had to understand why he hit rock bottom to get that sense of clarity and have renewed vows with God. So we need to understand what we did to get to the point and put all our trust in God and follow him rather than going back the same road again. Because how many of you in here feel like sometimes you're on a hamster wheel and you just keep doing the same thing over and over and over? You know, like when I first started coming, it's like I was so on fire. I was like, yes. But then because I wasn't reading my Bible every day, I wasn't praying every day, it's like months would go by and then it's like, yes, I felt alive and good, but I felt like I was in the same place. Like, why do I still feel this way? Because I'm not reading my Bible and I'm not praying and I'm not doing the things that will actually help me. So it's kind of like common sense, but in our minds, it's like, it's not easy, you know, to find your time of dedicating the morning, whatever it is, to read your Bible. But if you do it, it's so worth it. And you're going to get off that hamster wheel eventually, you know. So what is a vow? A vow is a pledge regardless of how I feel. You say you're going to do something, you do it. So when you get married and you stand at the altar and you do your vows with your husband or your wife, and God is listening because these vows are to your husband, God's there. And you say in sickness and health, in good times and bad, you're there for your spouse. So it should be the same thing with God, that in sickness and in health, I'm praying, I'm reading my Bible, I'm allowing you to speak to me, not just when we're sick. You know, he can get us through our storms, but it should also be, okay, God, I'm having a great day, and I'm still reading your Bible, I'm still praying, and I'm still allowing you to speak to me. Because he wants to hear every moment of your day. He wants to hear you. I mean, it's like, yes, he can see us. Yes, he knows everything that's going on, but he wants you to talk to him. So make your vow to God to have more conversation with him. And it's easy. You just talk to him however you want to talk to him. You know, Jonah 2:9, but I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill all my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone. So Jonah is actively working for God's benefit, not his own, because a lot of times when we follow our own agenda, we fail. We follow our desires that aren't necessarily God's desires, and then we end up down this path where if we had followed God this path, it would have still brought us to our desires, but it would have been a lot easier than going this way and getting thrown in a boat and eaten by a whale. So we need to choose God. We need to choose to work for God and not just what we desire. So just because you desire something doesn't always mean it's God, and you need to pray about it. But if it is God, follow his steps to get you to where the desire is. You know, what vows do you need to renew with God? It might be praying, reading your Bible, you know, allowing his voice to be louder than your own. Because I know that there's times that my voice is way louder than God, but my voice is negative and not uplifting to myself. And that can tear you down. So you need to have God's voice louder than your own to get you through anything, or even just getting you through the day. Whatever it is, allow God's voice to be louder. You know, going back to church regularly, maybe this is your first time back in 3 years, but you know, going regularly every Sunday is for you. It's for your benefit and your growth with God and your relationship with him. So the more you come, the closer you're going to get to him, the friendships you're going to make. So maybe you need to make a vow to come back more than just once every couple months. So whatever it is, choose to make the vow today. You can make the vow in your room, in your car, wherever it is, and just vow to God, this is what I'm going to start doing, and then just do it. You know, like I said, if you're married, you just do it. So why don't you just do it to God? You know, it's so easy to go out about life only talking about the good things with God, but we treat God like a genie, right? Like you picture a genie lamp and you're rubbing it, and it's like, God, I need to get a new car. God, like I used to do, God, just let my mom say yes for me to sleep over at my friend's house, and then I'll do whatever you ask me to do. I'll never ask you for anything again. So that's what we do. Or we're sick, whatever. We go to him. He gives us whatever that is. And then it's like, all right, poof, God, go back and then into this lamp. And then this lamp sits here, and you go about your day, and God hears you, and he's inside like, I want to talk to you. I'm here. Talk to me. But yet we only go to him when it's bad. So we need to take him out of the lamp and leave him out, you know? Because he wants to hear from you. I mean, have you ever had that friend, which I've had, that only calls you when there's a problem? Like you get the 2 o'clock phone call, or you're on vacation and someone calls you and you're like, okay, I'll take care of this. And then you get them through their problem, you bail them out, but all the while you're stressed out now because their situation stretched you out. But then when you have a problem, they're like, whoa, I didn't sign up for this. I only go to you with your problem, my problems. And then you keep allowing them to keep coming to you because maybe you're too nice and generous, but then they only come to you when they have a problem. So if you think about it in that mindset, sometimes we do that to God. We only go to him with a problem. We don't go to him in our happy times, you know? And so we need to think of him as our best friend, Like, even if you don't have a best friend, just God, like, I'm going to tell you everything about my day, even though you know everything that happened. But I'm so excited about this. I'm disappointed about this. But I know you're with me, and I'm going to get through this, and it's going to be so good. Thank you. You know, just talk to him. And I used to think talking to God was like this holy, got to talk in a certain tone and all this stuff and praying. But when I found out I could just talk to him like this, and you can laugh, it's okay to laugh. You can cry and be upset and tell him, I am so mad about this situation, but I need you to get through it. That's okay too. Because he knows that you're not angry with him. He knows you're mad. He knows your heart's breaking and his heart's breaking. But he wants to get you through it. And that's what really close friends do. They help you get through stuff. But isn't it so cool that with God, you can do the crazy things? Like, he gives us gifts and talents, but sometimes they're just so crazy and you're just like, I could have never done this without you. So I used to sing in chorus, if you call that singing. And I met Chad that way, so I guess that's the reason why I was in it and he was in it. But I failed my chorus midterm. So how do you fail a chorus midterm? You have to, right? You have to follow 6 notes in a scale. And I just bombed it. Like, first it was so quiet, like, la, it was horrible. So I didn't pass it. And I had a point where it was going. Oh, how crazy, right? So crazy. So just the fact that I sing here is crazy to me, because the first time I ever sing a song alone here, I'm like, why did you let me sing? Like, it was a dessert theater, so if any of you have that copy, keep it to yourself. It's almost like the Chipettes. The way I sounded was like a chipmunk, you know. But everyone looked past it, it was fine. But just how cool God can just work through your things. So pray to God for the crazy. The crazy good, not the crazy bad. He desires our strong relationship with you. So don't take your vows for granted. I was in high school in a car accident, and I broke 2 vertebrae in my back and was paralyzed for 24 hours. And so it's only because of God that I can walk. So it's like I need to keep walking and praying. I need to keep thanking him. And it's hard because I'm human. So it's not like I wake up every single morning and like, Jesus, thank you that I can walk. I don't. And I need to do it more. But I do always remember. Like, there are certain times in my day, it's like, oh yeah, I'm walking because God let me walk. God saved me from this. So whatever it is that God has done, even if it's not necessarily the outcome he wanted, but it's still really good and he did it, thank him for it. So if you got healed, keep thanking him for it. I thank him for this or whatever it is. Don't forget about what he did do. So if you're feeling like God, you never do anything, but it's like, I did X, Y, and Z. Yeah. So if you write it down so you can open that notebook and like, no, God, you have done all this. So we're good, you know, because sometimes you can get discouraged feeling like he's not doing anything. So just choose to renew your vows to God today. Our next point is current problems can be God's provision. And Jonah understood that his current problem was God's provision. In verse 9, it says, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone. He had a moment in the belly of the whale. Last week, Pastor Chad said, most people think their problems are just problems. Sometimes God's trying to work through us. And so you got to remember in Jonah 1:4, it says the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, that he purposely sent this wind to get them to toss Jonah out of the boat so that Jonah could go on with the provisions that God had. Too many people are blaming the devil. The devil made me do it. It's the devil's fault. The devil doesn't like me, which he doesn't. But not every time is it the devil. This instance was not the devil. Jonah chose to do this. So you need to remember that whatever you're going through, don't always automatically assume it's the devil. You need to pray about that. Make God, are you teaching me something? What do I need? So a lot of times now, in the things that I've gone through in the past couple of years, I'm like, God, what are you trying to teach me? What do I need to get out of this so that I can be better? Yeah. You know, sometimes you go through stuff and then you're able to help someone else through a situation, or it makes you better. Whatever it is, you need to pray about it before you automatically assume it's the devil's fault, blame it on the devil, and then you don't fix it. Jonah renewed his vow to God and what most would say is the belly of the problem. But in that moment, he saw with a new lens and realized that he was in God's provision. So So even when God shows his mercy, it doesn't mean we don't have to deal with natural circumstance. So like I said, you reap what you sow. If you're going to run away, then you're going to end up in the ocean in the belly of a whale. So people think God is not in the solution. If he's not, then he's not providing. But he is. He's a God of principle. You can't just decide one day I'm going to be a chef and open my own restaurant, but never once actually sow into learning how to cook or how to be a chef and expect people to come to your restaurant. You know, it's kind of funny. It's kind of like getting married. I like to bake. Cooking, I can do it. But it's funny because I'm like, I never desired to be a chef, but I am one now. 2 Corinthians 9:6, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. So in life, due to the cause, because I did this, there's going to be an effect. It's just the way that it is. Jonah 2:10 says, then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach. Doesn't sound comfortable, doesn't sound graceful. So how many of you have been to the beach and the waves just pummel you and take you out, and it is so embarrassing? It's like the waves in Virginia Beach are massive, and I'm sure there's big waves. I mean, I can't even imagine if I was in Hawaii, who knows what would have happened. But Chad and I, before we had kids, we were at the beach, and we were just body surfing, you know, without a boogie board, which was not smart. So we're surfing on our bodies, and then these waves come and just take us out. And then that's when you do the, you're tumbling and tumbling, and then you get up and you're at the foot of the ocean, and then everyone's just looking at you laughing because they're like, they watched the whole thing happen, and you stand up like, oh, this was like horrible. So then, you know, having, we had the rash on our body and cuts, sand everywhere. And so can you only imagine, that's just like a small of what happened to Jonah, because I'm pretty sure the whale didn't just go up to the sand and just go poof. I'm pretty sure that the whale was way back here and he just got himself up and then bleh. And then along with everything else came Jonah, right? So I'm sure Jonah was covered. The sand covered him like just gross, right? Is that enough for you guys? So I'm sure it was horrible. But in the midst of his bumps and bruises, I'm sure he was still thanking God that he was alive. That he was able to get through all of that. I'm still alive, God. I'm here. Thank you. So when you come out of your problem, don't focus on the bumps and bruises and the bad things that happen. Focus on the fact that I'm still alive. I still have whatever it is that you may have lost a part of. I still have a house, even though it may not be as big as I want it. Or I may have this, but I want that, but I still have this, so I'm blessed to have this, so I'm not even going to think about this. So you just look at the overall good side of it and leave the bad stuff behind. So my last point, when God calls, can we answer the first time? Yeah. That might have been a lot better for Jonah had he answered the first time. So Jonah 3:1-3 says, then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Get up, go to the great city of Nineveh, and deliver the message I have given you. This time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh. So Jonah came full circle, and God still asked him to do the same thing. So Jonah's thinking, I'm going to run away to Tarshish, and he's never going to find me. And then he goes, and God finds him on the boat, because God knows where we are all the time, right? So he finds him on the boat, and then all the people are freaking out, and then he's like, just throw me off the boat. So they throw him and all of his stuff off the boat. He ends up at the bottom of the sea inside of a whale, thrown up by a whale, and still has to do what God asked him to do. And he's probably just like, what was the point in that? You know, he was probably hoping someone else would come along and do his job. But sometimes we have jobs that only we are supposed to do. So Jonah decided to not restart the cycle of pain again and actually do what God told him to do. So we need to do that too. You know, if any problem you've ever had, if it didn't come back, that was a successful problem. You didn't have to relive it. You listened, you followed through, you got through it. So Jonah truly learned from it. And we need to truly learn from whatever it is that we're running from. It's better to just do it than to not, because he got eaten by a whale, but who knows what yours is going to be if you don't listen. And then you have to go through all of this just to get where he wanted you to be in the first place. He's protecting you. He wants you to do this so you don't end up that way. And last week, Pastor Chad asked you to identify what your Tarshish was. What are you running from? What is it that you don't want to have God involved that you'd rather do it yourself? So today, I'm asking you, what's your Nineveh? What is it that you know you're supposed to do, but you're not doing? Whether it's a fear, lack in confidence, you're super overwhelmed at what this task is, like Jonah, having to go to speak to all these people, like this big thing that's like, I can't do that. Whatever it is, you need to just do it. This morning, God, just as God was telling Jonah in Jonah 3:2, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you. So I'm encouraging you today to just get up and go to your Nineveh. Stop running and go do what it is that God's called you to do to take you to that next step. Don't allow your Tarshish to keep you from your Nineveh. And that maybe you need to forgive somebody. Forgiving can be very, very hard, but we have to do it, because if we don't do it, then we become bitter, angry. We don't want to look at the person, and then we start being bitter and angry towards other people and other things. So if you need to forgive somebody, it's so good for you to do it, even though it might make you really angry to do it. Maybe God's stirring you into baptism. Maybe that's something that you're like, I don't know if I want to take that step or not, but that's the next step that God has for you. Yeah. It's the next step to get you, to keep you on that path with him. So if you want to do it and you're feeling it, go do it. Or if you're feeling like the dive-in class, like you're like, oh, I'm not so sure about that. But that's such a good foundation for you to understand who we are, what we do, and what God has for you. God has so many amazing plans for you. And so being part of a church is an amazing thing, and it's something I didn't realize I needed until I came, because of the love, the support. Someone's always there to pray for you. So if it's that, go do it. Maybe you got called, maybe you're called to let go of an offense with your spouse or a friend. But you know, spouses, we can all do stupid things, you know? But you need to look past that and know that just because one side isn't perfect, neither are you. And you do things that annoy the other. And we need to learn to just let things go. And that if you have an offense, you need to fix it, because it's just going to keep poisoning your marriage. You know, love them, get through it, and you're going to see a better outcome on the other side. Even if that spouse doesn't want to talk to you, that spouse doesn't want to forgive you, as long as you're good and you're continually doing what you need to do, the other side's going to come through. But your heart isn't going to become hardened. You know, maybe God's calling you to take that next step in your job. Maybe you're afraid because you have to be over all these people and you're not sure you can do that, or it's a lot of money that I have to take care of and I don't know if I can do that, or whatever the job is. Could be a small job. Could be just going back to work. Maybe you're just afraid to go back to work and that's holding you back. So whatever it is, figure it out and run to it. So I'm gonna be honest with you. This right here is me standing in my Nineveh. Okay? So I did this first service, and I'm like, you know what? They're not going to raise their hand. But where are my introverts at? Anybody want to raise their hand? I've got both my hands up. There has to be one in here. I know there is. I know there is. Okay, I see. Thank you. That's the first step. Okay? Because I realized going down to conference, there are so many male pastors that are so introverted. And it was like this really cool thing for me, because I'm looking, thinking, you've got it all together. You're up there doing your thing. But then when they get down, it's like they're back. You know what I'm saying? So for me, it was encouraging, because it's like, okay, it's okay. Because a lot of times you hear the word introvert and you almost kind of think like it's a bad thing, like wallflower, I don't want to talk to anybody, I'm going to stand over here. But I don't believe that. I think it's actually just big crowds can drain us. That it can be a little awkward for small conversation, but we love people. And I decided that I wanted a new name for it. So we're not introverts anymore, we're ultra laid back. So that is the new one. If someone says you're an introvert, you're gonna say, no, I'm just ultra laid back. Because sometimes people look at extroverts as life of the party, whatever, but we're still just as good, right? I love people. We're good. So that's why I'm standing in my Nineveh, because I've known For years I'm supposed to be doing this. However, I can't tell you how many times I've run away from it, how many times I've been asked to do it, and I was like, no, 2 weeks is not enough notice. 2 months is not enough notice. I had a year notice for Mother's Day this year. That was just about enough notice for me to be able to do it. So, right? It's silly. So I'm just encouraging you, if you are that introverted side, just embrace it. I'm embracing it, and that's why I'm just saying it, that there's nothing wrong with it, and we just work in our gifts and talents, right? Yeah. So the devil knows what makes me weak. He knows that I was sitting there first service, and I had already watched that video, so I knew as soon as I saw this, I had to get up and come up. But sitting down there was like, okay, if I don't go up, maybe James will come up and preach, Pastor Marco. No, that's not going to happen. Okay, I have to do this. So you need to know. So I know that it's far greater to trust in God than it is to allow the devil in these moments to speak to me. You know, I know that it's my voice, but I also know that the devil's whispering because he knows what makes me weak. He knows how to set my day off this morning with so many crazy things that happened with the girls and all these things, but I still didn't allow it. I could have allowed it to get to me, and it would have made this a lot harder. But I chose, you know what? I'm not going to let this get to me. It's good. We're fine. My kids are fine. You know, so you need to figure out whatever it is that your Nineveh is, whatever it is that you're afraid of, and just do it. Yeah. Because what's the worst that could happen? Yeah. Nothing. I mean, the first time I ever preached, it was an 80s night at Ignited, and I had pleather pants on. I looked really cool. And I got so nervous before I went up. I went to somebody, I'm like, I can't do it. And I went on my knees, like, and it split. Except I didn't know it split until after I preached an entire message. So I was walking around, my pants split. There was an extra layer, so we're fine, but still. So if I can do that, you can do whatever it is that you feel you're supposed to do and not be afraid. So, yeah, glad that we didn't video back then. So God just loves you, and he doesn't give us that spirit of fear. So you know if you're fearing, that's not from God. You know that that one is from the enemy, and he wants to take you down and keep you from whatever it is that you're supposed to do. But it's so much more freeing when you just do it. You get a weight lifted off your shoulders, whatever it is. And it could be so small or it could be so big. Don't feel like it's insignificant. Whatever the Nineveh is, identify it. So right now, I just want to pray for whoever can clearly see what their Nineveh is, that they know what they've been doing. Oh, and one other thing. If it keeps coming around like this, like speaking, if it's God, it's going to keep coming back. So year after year after year, this has not stopped. So I know that this is what I'm supposed to do, as opposed to it was just in my mind, maybe it went away. No, it's a constant in your head every time you're asked. I'm like, nope. He's like, yes, yes, yes. So know that too. If it just keeps coming back, God's talking to you.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.